Without further ado, we're going to get into the Word. I think it's about time for the Word. Hallelujah. We're coming from 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 29. Actually, that's where our passage is going to be coming from. But we're going to read, firstly, 1 Samuel 16 and verse, the very last verse. Let me find it. That isn't it. It's when David was anointed. In the name of Jesus. I declare that God gets the glory. That is the verse. May God bless you. It's my brother Doug. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now, if you would, please turn with me or pull up 1 Samuel 29. We'll start at verse 6. And we're going to read all the way through 30, verse 6. And I'm going to ask if you would read verse 30 in concert with me. We're going to read that together. And I wanted to read the chapter 16, verse first, in order to lay a foundation. And it reads as such. Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. And your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day, I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord, the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Now, therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants whom have come up with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Read verse 6 in concert with me. Ready? Read. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and those who operate in accordance with his holy word. I would like to talk to you today from the topic of the promise is for an appointed time. Let's pray. Lord, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Speak it to who you want to speak it to, and let it, Lord, be as you see fit in the name of Jesus. Have thine own way. Spirit of the living God, take control of this place, oh God. Right now, we take authority, believing in you, Lord, that every word spoken shall fall on good ground and that everything shall spring forth up unto good works. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it and we say amen and amen. I took you to where David was first anointed because he received the promise. But as you would see, that started in verse 16, and we come all the way to chapter 16, and we've come all the way to chapter 30. And what we're going to be talking about today, for the most part, is the process that people go through before they actually attain the promises. I know that many of us out here read the Word of God. It's full of promises. It's full of good things and things that we can hope in, things that we can believe in, things that we can have faith in, things that we can know that our God is going to perform in our lives. But what we oftentimes don't realize is the fact that when you get a promise and when you have a promise, it doesn't always manifest quickly. And so what we're going to do is today is see how David went from getting a promise to going through trouble. When David first got the promise as a guarantee, the Bible says that the Lord was with him. And when the Lord was with him, guess what? When the Lord is with you, you can get to places that you normally wouldn't be able to get to apart from the Lord being with you. When the Lord is with you, you can do some things that you weren't able to do apart from him. So here it is. The Bible says that the Lord is with David. And knowing this, he ends up in the palace, the very place that he was going to be one day. God put him there for King Saul. Now, King Saul, he became a servant of King Saul. And the Philistines were coming up in war against the Israelites. And nobody was wanting to fight Goliath. And I'm going to paraphrase. I know you guys know the story. But here it is. David said, I'll fight him. And when he fought him, he won. He won, and his fame went through the land. And when you do something good, you know people will praise you when you do something good. And if somebody's over you, a king, guess what? He may get jealous. And in this sense, guess what? He got jealous. And as I read the Bible, I found out that the Bible said that God put an evil spirit on King Saul and then he starts to shun David and starts to be mean to David and starts to despise David. And it's amazing to me that this is the very guy that's in position to take the throne. This is the guy who has been given the promise. And here it is. So he's received the promise and Saul gets jealous. And so after Saul tries to throw a javelin at him, after Saul talks about him and is mean to him, he ends up fleeing to Gath. Now, let me remind you, Gath is the place where he slayed the Philistine. This is the hometown of Goliath. And here he is. He winds up in Gath. And when he winds up in Gath, he's fronted before the king. And he has this promise, and God's supposed to be delivering him, he thinks. And yet he has to pretend as if he's crazy before the king. Scared that he was going to lose his life because at one, guess what? The fame didn't just go throughout the land in Israel, but it also in Gath, they were calling David the king of Gath because he had slayed Goliath. And now here he is really in front of the king of Gath, and he has to pretend crazy so he don't get slain. And so he goes on fleeing. This is after he has a promise. He flees from Gath on into Adullam. And then out along, 400 men joined him from the camp of Saul. They joined him. And listen at this. The Bible says that these 400 men that joined them, all of these men, it said they were in debt, said they were discontent, and they were distressed. Here it is. You're on the run, and some people have joined with you, and they're broke, distressed, and discontent. My. I don't know about you, but that isn't the type of people I would want to roll with me when I'm on the run. And so here it is. David's on the run and he has this promise and he's getting people. And guess what? So once he got these people in Adullam, these 400 people, he goes on from there to Mizra of Moab. He's still running. He goes on to the forest of Herith in Judah. All this time, Saul is pursuing him. He's ready to kill him. And guess what? Throughout this time, he had a couple of opportunities to kill Saul, but he had a heart that said, I'm not going to touch God's anointing. Let that resonate in your spirit. He went on to Keilah. From there, he went on to Ziph. From Ziph, he went on to the wilderness of Moab. From the wilderness of Moab, he went on to En-Gedi. From En-Gedi, he went on to the wilderness of Paran. From the wilderness of Paran, he goes back to Gath. Now, this same king who told him to get out of his faith, he said, I got enough crazy people around me already. Y'all need to get this one away from me, too. So it worked. He got away from the king. Now he comes back to the king and he befriends the king. Isn't it amazing? Because when you have the favor of God, he'll cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. And so he befriends the king. He becomes good friends with him. And he was there in the camp of in Gath with him. And finally he says, you know what? I got these men with me and I really need to have a place by myself with these men. And if you will, just give me a place out in the countryside, a little rural area so we can dwell out there. And the king says, okay. You can go to Ziglag. That's where we come to today. But little did he know that when he entered into Ziglag, he would enter into a dry place. Ziglag is located about 15 miles southwest of Gaza. And I believe the name today, they've coined it as Tel El Sharia. It's still a place, but there's a spirit that's there, a dry place that's been there from even back in these days. And when we talk about dry places, let it be known that the enemy walks about the dry places, seeking whom he may devour. That's why let me suggest to you this morning that if you have a dry place in your life, if you have a dry area in your life, seek God on it and see to it that that place doesn't make its abode with you in order that you may go on forth doing the things which God has called for you to do. Here it is. He goes to this place and he has these men with him. He started with 400. He's up to 600. He's gaining ground now. He has more men than he first started with. Has anybody ever been in a place where it seemed like you was continuously gaining ground, but still while you were gaining ground, you seemed to be in a dry spot? You got the promotion, but you found out the pay wasn't concurrent with the issues that you were having to deal with. You had an opportunity to go to that place, and when you got there, you wasn't respected or revered by the people who were there. You've been praying about this woman for all this time and you finally get her and she winds up leaving you for somebody else. And then you have these special cases, these special people who do everything right. I mean, they didn't fornicate before marriage. They prayed. They got the house plans drawn up and they got them drawn up and got the place built. And then they got married, went down the aisle. They're there together. And now here it is. 2 weeks into the marriage, they're fussing at each other and they hadn't had an argument in the years that they were dating, because she didn't know that the guy that she married, Prince Charming, was nasty. She didn't know that he was going to be bringing stuff from outside that should have stayed outside, and he's coming inside, putting his hands on her refrigerator and leaving his clothes in the floor, leaving a trail from the front to the back. She was thinking to herself that this is the guy, this is the one. I've done everything right. I've been right before the Lord, and here I am. I finally get an opportunity to get Prince Charming, and I get him home, and Lord, how is it that you wouldn't tell me that he's nasty? 35 years, and he ain't learned to clean up yet. He's nasty, Lord. I got to deal with this now. I'm in it for the long haul, so I have to put up with this. Have anybody ever been gaining ground and still seem like they're not getting very far? And so here it is. King David has attained friendship with Achish. When you read Psalm 34 says that he pretended madness before King Abimelech. Just so you know, and FYI, Abimelech, Achish, same guy. You just got that in a moment's notice, and it took me probably about 30 minutes to find that out, study. So I thank God for people who spend time studying and give me stuff by revelation. That's why I thank God for my pastor. And I know that he spends time in the Word of God. And oftentimes we as a people don't realize how much time people are spending doing this and preparing for this and going out and doing that. When we can be watching football, when we can be out at the game, when we can be doing our own thing, we're sitting before the Lord, seeing to it that we would have an opportunity to speak to the Lord's people before him. And guess what? That's the kind of leader that David was, and he had a promise, and he said, I respect the man of God so much, even though he wants to take my head off, I'm going to ensure that I don't do a thing to him. God, you may even allow for him to be placed in my hands in order that I may be able to kill him, but guess what? I'm not going to do it, because I respect you enough, oh God, that I'm not going to touch your anointing. And you as leaders need to know that you're anointed. And when we have that mindset one to another, we won't be so quick to put our mouth on our brother, so quick to put our mouth on our sister, because I am the Lord's anointed. You are the Lord's anointed. We are the Lord's anointed. So we all come together, and if we're going to do anything, we're going to bless the Lord's anointed. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So we make sure that we do that. Here it is. They've came to Ziklag. And let me tell you, Ziklag isn't the place that you want to be. Ziklag isn't a good place. It's a bad place, because it's a place, a desolate place. It's a place where issues go on. You don't enter into Ziklag just because you stumped your toe. You don't enter into Ziklag just because you broke your leg. You enter into Ziklag when your daughter is pregnant out of wedlock and she's aborted the baby and then comes to you because she's depressed. You end up in Ziklag whenever your husband has a pornography issue. You end up in Ziklag whenever somebody is cheating on you, whenever somebody's lying on you, whenever somebody's scandalizing your name, whenever you're going through persecution, you're going through Ziklag. Realize this, you go through Ziklag whenever your father-in-law has been assassinated, whenever you've actually had your brother, your friend to pass, whenever you actually, after all of this has happened, then you end up in a place where you yourself wind up in the hospital. Guess what? Don't think it's strange, because Ziklag is a place that tries to attack the leaders. But let me tell you something. We as a people have to make sure that we are continuing to cover our leaders and cover our grounds and make sure that we realize that's our portion, because the Bible says, pray for those that are appointed over you. So as we as a people have to make sure that we're doing that. And here it is. When you're going through Ziklag, whenever you're the pastor, who is it that you can call? Who is it that you can cry on? Who is it that you can lean on? There's nobody that you can call. But guess what? I love what the Bible says about that, because this passage, we all read it in concert. It said that David, after all his strength was gone, when everything was going on, when every persecution was coming from every side, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Is there anybody here that's ever had to encourage yourself in the Lord? Mama wasn't there to do it. Daddy wasn't there to do it. Brother wasn't
wasn't there to do it. Sister wasn't there to do it. I declare that you shall encourage yourself in the Lord. When there's no one there, you have enough power within you to speak life to that situation, over that situation, whereby you may be delivered in the name of Jesus. I thank God for giving us an opportunity to come out of Ziklag. And so here it is. He has these men, King Achish has told him, you know what? I'm your friend. You've gained trust from me. But guess what? The people that are rolling with me, they don't like you. So in lieu of them, you're going to have to stand down in this fight. He leaves that place and he heads back to Ziklag. And when he gets to Ziklag, the camp is burned. The wife and the children are gone. And the very men that left their place, their territory, and followed David while he was running, said that this is more than enough for me to kill you. They picked up stones ready to do him in. And I realize that when people end up in a place like that, there's nothing that's going to get you out besides the word of God. That's why we have to make sure that we place the word of God in its rightful place in our lives. And we don't allow anything to usurp authority over the word of God. I know what the doctor said, but it don't usurp authority over the word of God. I know what the clinic said, but it don't usurp over the authority of the word of God. I understand that there may be issues and circumstances and situations, but at the end of the day, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God endures forever. We as a people need to make sure that we start lifting up the word and not allowing anything else to come in and take precedence over it. Amen. So here it is in Ziklag. These men are ready to stone him, and by way of him encouraging himself in the Lord, they come to grips with the fact that, hey, this is our leader. This is the man that we came to be with, and we're going to roll with him. And so here it is. They take off. They're heading to get their wives and their children and their families back. And on the way, in my research, I found out 15 miles out, thank you so much, that they came to a place called Wadi Basor. Let me tell you. Wadi Basor is a creek, riverbank, if you will. It's something you can liken to the Leaf River. It says they got there, him and all of his men. And when they got there, they ate and they drank. And while they were there, 200 of the men said, I ain't going any further. I quit. I don't know what everyone is going through, but there is nothing. Let me tell you something. Ziklag is an attack against the family. That's how I know whenever they came to the Wadi Basor, to the river brook, that these men were there, that it was an attack against the family, because I looked up and I found out something. Whenever they come to this place, these people had an opportunity to either go on and pursue the enemy. Now, the Bible says that David had prayed about it, encouraging himself in the Lord. He found out that he was going to be able to pursue the enemy and overtake him. Now, he's been with them since they've been with him since day one, and they've seen him do mighty feats. They know that he hears from God, and here it is. At this point, they say, I'm giving up. I know they got my children. I know they got my wife, but
I'm giving up. Who is it? How in the world would there be something bad enough for a man to say, I'm giving up on the family. I'm giving up on the wife. I'm giving up on the children. Let me tell you something. Don't ever let Wadi Besor be something that causes you to give up on the family, to give up on the wife, to give up on your life. Let this be your conviction. Anytime that I ever thought in my mind that I was going to walk out, I think of this and I realize that nobody's going to love her like I'm going to love her. Nobody's going to raise mine the way I'm going to raise mine. Nobody's going to fend for mine the way that I'm going to fend for mine. And if I don't have enough sense to stay there and do it, how can I expect another man to come in and take care of what's rightfully mine? We got to make sure that we don't find ourselves at Wadi Besor leaving, giving up on the family, because that is not what we need to be doing. God didn't call us and give us an opportunity to be over a household in order that we may say, I'm giving up, I'm caving in, I'm quitting. And here it is. I like David. And I can tell you, he learned some things when he was a shepherd boy. And he continued implementing those things when he became a leader. And here it is. So here it is. These 200 men have given up on him. I just got a download. 200 men gave up. And I wonder, originally, how many men said, I quit? Now, the Bible says 200 gave up, so undoubtedly 200 gave up, but how many originally? One? Five? Let me tell you something. If God has planted you here, you make sure that you're hearing from God if you decide that you want to hit the road. Because whenever you uproot yourself, you uproot other people that are connected to you. And you don't want to be responsible for uprooting yourself and having other roots and fruits and tentacles to be uprooted when you leave. I don't think that it was 200 people that decided they was going to leave by themselves. Or decided that they were going to stay there by themselves and not pursue their family. If I had to step out on a limb, and this is pure guess, but I bet you it may not have been, but as a matter of fact, one person said it. Now get a load of this. I'm sure a lot of folks was thinking it. We all think some things sometime, but it was one person that the enemy used to jump out there and say, I quit. And the other one says, you know what? I'm tired too. I quit too. You know what? They quit. I quit too. Brother so-and-so quit. I know I'm quitting. If you quit, somebody else is going to quit as well, and you don't want to be responsible for that. David was a leader who was fighting for the sheep even when he was a shepherd. When he used the same tactics when he come against Goliath. He told him, he said, I've slain the lion, I've slain the bear. Whenever they would come and get a sheep and snatch it out of the fold, I would go after it and pursue it. And if it turned on me, I'd kill it. He kept that same heart, that same mindset whenever he was going after his family. And I can't blame him. You know why? Because the Bible says that Abigail was fine as wine. I mean, they said that Abigail was straight beautiful. So guess what? In the midst of that, I'm sure David was thinking, I got to make sure that I get on up here. I can't leave my family out, my daughters out, in order that somebody may be able to molest them. I can't leave my family out in order that some man may be able to rape her. I can't leave them like that. And guess what? The Bible says that on the third day, David and his men took off heading to get them. That's amazing to me, because there's resurrection power in the number three. Here it is. They were at the Wadi Besor at number three, and everybody had resurrection power there, but everybody didn't operate in that resurrection power. Here it is. They took on off, and I found out that Besor means life. Besor means manifestation. Let me tell you something. At your greatest point of pain, at your greatest point of issues, at your greatest circumstances, you are at your manifestation. Don't you give up now, because the Lord thy God will strengthen you, and he's already given you resurrection power in order that you may be able to go on, go forth, pursue the Amalekites, and recover all. The Bible says they recovered all. That's amazing to me. They recovered everything.
I wish I had just a few people who said that I'm going to recover everything. My joy, I'm getting my joy back. I'm getting my peace back. I'm getting my hope back. I'm getting my faith back. I'm getting my family back. I'm getting my friends back. I'm getting everything back that the enemy has stole from me. And as a matter of fact, I'm so fired up about it. If I see anything that he got of yours, I'll get it too while I'm there. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the mindset you have to have when you are in Ziklag and you have a promise. Because the promise is for an appointed time, and everything and every situation has a capacity to come against you whenever you are in Ziklag. And the enemy will come against you when you're at your lowest point. But even at your lowest point, he isn't enough for the resurrected power that lives in us. That lives in us. Same power. So here it is. Manifestation can be good or it can be bad. And it's going to be contingent upon the choice that you make when you're going through a Ziklag experience. Knowing that they only took 3 days. The Bible said that he was praying to God, and the third day he got up and took off. And all these men that were just against him, ready to kill him, they went with him. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that there's some prayer warriors here. I'm glad that there's some people who are willing to go pound for pound, bat for bat, round for round. I'm really appreciative of the fact that we have people who will plead the blood of Jesus over those who are sick. I'm really glad that we have people who will stand in the gap. I'm really glad that we have people who will say, no, we're not taking that report. We're going to believe the Lord's report. I'm glad that we have those people. But here's the deal. I want you to know we shouldn't be praying about something day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. Most folks procrastinate and blame it on prayer. Let me tell you something. If you ain't got an answer, but you're carrying about the Spirit of God, I suggest you need to spring into action. Because if you don't spring into action, 3 days is a lot when somebody's got your wife and your children. You're going to have to bust a move. You're going to have to do something. Because the longer you stay away, the longer you stay back praying, the longer you stay back saying, hey, they're going to get it. Hey, it's going to be fixed. The enemy is steady pounding. The enemy is steady doing things. He's steady messing up what God has given you. And you're standing back saying, I'm praying. I'm praying. We got to make sure that we as a people don't procrastinate to a point where we say, you know what? I'm believing God. Yes, believe God. But I would rather err on the side of doing something than I would doing nothing. Because when you don't do nothing, that's a sure fail. That's a sure fail. So I'm going to step out and do something. If this business don't work, so be it. I'll do another one. If this team doesn't work out for me, so be it. I'll join another one. Here it is. We have to make sure that we as a people don't stop and get stuck in a rut saying that I'm praying about it. I'm praying about it. Prayer is good. Prayer is awesome. Prayer will lift you. Prayer get some things done. But hey, let me tell you, when you got God in you, God's an active God. I just said it. The word of God is powerful, quick, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And since it's living, I don't know a living thing that isn't moving. God is always moving. God is always doing. We as a people should be always moving. We should be always doing. Because that's the kind of God that we serve, and that's what he has placed in us. So here it is. David finally goes and recovers all. And while he's there, he has word that Saul is dead. Not only is King Saul dead, but his best friend Jonathan is also dead. Let me tell you something. is just a fact of life. People are going to die. Not to undermine your situation or your circumstance. But you can't stop living. You got to move on. The promise is still at hand. So here it is. There's a man that came and brought the crown to David. And when he brought the crown to David, I'm getting ready to close. The guy that's bringing the promise to him, the very thing that he's been waiting on after going through situation and circumstance and issue after issue, running and running and running. The guy comes to David and says, Saul, Jonathan dead, and I got your crown. I killed Saul. And here, when I saw scholars believe two things. They believe that either after King Saul was attacked, this guy come up because he wasn't dead and he went ahead and thrust him through and killed him, or the guy lied. Well, the Bible says that King Saul died when he fell on the sword. So there's your answer if you get a hold to that commentary. This guy told a lie. So he come there and thinking he's going to receive praise from King David for bringing him the thing that's long awaited, the promise. And David tells him, who are you that you didn't fear God enough that you would lay hands on the Lord's anointed? And David had his boy to kill him. The very guy that's bringing him the promise, David had him killed. Because he had so much respect for God's anointed that he said, if you'll touch the Lord's anointed, you'll touch me. Let me tell you something. When it comes to God's anointed, that man there, we don't lay hands on him. And this goes without being said. I know we all love our pastor, but in word, in deed, in fellowship. And you know what? King Solomon wrote something that was really, really awesome. He said, even in the corridors of your home, don't say nothing bad about the king. He said, because a little bird will go and tell the matter. And this is why it's so important for us to cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you're in Ziklag, you have to make sure that you're casting down every thought and casting down every imagination, because the enemy desires to sift you like wheat. And if he can throw something in there and cause you to believe it and cause you to stand on it and cause you to act and operate on it, he's got you. But I don't want to be caught doing something that I'm not supposed to do. And the only way that we can ensure that we don't get caught doing something we're not supposed to be doing is to ensure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. At all times. Stand to your feet this morning. He finally got his promise. But when you know, even when you receive the promise, sometimes it don't feel like you've received the promise. And I know we got some people here today that are where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing. But through trials, it sure doesn't seem like it. I want to pray with some people today. The altar is open. Anybody that's been to Ziklag, anybody that's in Ziklag, anybody that's declaring that they're coming out of Ziklag. And you know what? Since we're brothers and sisters, we can stand in the gap with one another. We got an altar call ministry. I ask that you come. Let me tell you something. When someone lays hands on you, be ready to receive. Because it doesn't make any difference who does the hand laying. It's about the power source that we're connected to. There's power to heal, deliver, and set free in this season. But not only is there power to heal, deliver, and set free, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't care who lays hands on me. Because I'm faithful in the fact that Him who is within me is greater. So if somebody wants to lay it on me, lay it on me. And the doors of the church are open. Whatever you want to play.
There's power.
Something's about to break. Something's about to break. Something's about to break. Something's about to break. Right where you're standing, begin to pray. I need you praying. This isn't a show time. This is a prayer time. This isn't a show time. This is a prayer time. I need you praying. I need you praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, I bless your name. Because there isn't a chain that you can't break. So we're asking you this morning to loose the cords of wickedness, oh God. Break us out of bondage, oh God. Break us out of poverty, oh God. Bring us out of zigzag, oh God. Lord, I believe in you, oh God, that if you touch us, oh God, we shall be touched, oh God. If you heal us, oh God, we shall be healed, oh God. Lord, I believe in you that as a tree that is planted by the water, oh God, that we're not going to be moved, oh God. We're not going to be moved by situations. We're not going to be moved by circumstances. But I declare that we're only going to be moved by faith in the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ and what we believe in him. I thank you, Lord, for being a God who meets the needs of all people, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that we will have our hearts and minds set and ready and prepared for what you plan on doing in this house, oh God. In this house. Let your truth be revealed. Let your truth be revealed. When David went on pursuing the enemy, 200 men had dropped out of the fight. We've had some men to drop out of the fight. But let me tell you something. God is able to do more with less. He's able. So I tell you today, you're going to do more than what you've done before. With what you have now, I declare that you're going to do more. With where you're at now, I declare that you're going to be more. With what you're doing now, I declare that it's going to be led and touched by God. And when it's in the hands of God, they're in the devil in hell that's able to stop it from growing. They're in the demon that can manifest that's able to stop it from accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. Hallelujah. So let the word of God have its perfect work in you this morning.